that if in this life alone we had hope, Paul says, we would be, as of men, most miserable. Because if this is all there was, if there was no God, if there was nothing, I mean, why go through all of this pain? You could easily understand why some people would, you know, go to a bridge and jump off. But there is more to life than just what we see. There is a God that loves us, that cares about us, that wants a relationship with us, and that we can know him. Hallelujah. Amen. So this month, our theme is a vessel of honor. And my text, my main scripture is from Jeremiah 18:4. And in fact, I did preach a message a couple weeks or so about this. And it speaks about the potter. Jeremiah was given a message from God to go and watch something happening. So he went to the potter's house, and he saw how the potter was making a vessel, making a clay vessel. And the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. You know, when I was studying for this, I did a lot of research on how vessels of clay are made. And there's quite an art to it. It's not just taking some clay and shaping it. There's a skill to producing a beautiful piece of pottery. And as Jeremiah was watching the potter, he saw that something went wrong while the potter was making the vessel, and it became marred. But guess what? The potter did not give up. He could have thrown that lump of clay away and got a new piece. But you know what? The scripture says, "And the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter, so he made it again." Isn't that wonderful that God does not throw us away when we become marred in his hands? This potter did not give up on that piece of clay. You know what he did? He took some more water. If you watch how they work with the clay, and he just brought it back under pressure. To be formed into a vessel, though, there's a process. There's some pressure that is exerted to shape that lump of clay. That lump of clay may not like it. Lots of times when we're being shaped by God, we don't like it because there's some pressure that we may have some rough edges, we may have some knots, but all that clay has got to be smoothed out before it can become a vessel of honor. And it said, so he made it again, another vessel, as seemed good to the potter to make it. And that's really the essence of this month's theme. We are the clay. We are not the potter. And we're not all the same vessel. I don't have your history. I don't know the path that you have walked. But he does. He does. And if you will let him shape you, even though at first you may have been marred, even though something may have gone wrong in your life, even though there may have been tribulations, it says here, so he made it again, another vessel, as seemed good to the potter to make it. So that's what we're going to be studying this morning and for the rest of this month, is different aspects of vessels of honor. So one of the ones we're going to study is finding our purpose. As I said, there are different kinds of vessels. Not every vessel is the same. And God uses us as befits our personality. You know, believe it or not, I'm really a shy person. You probably don't believe that. But if it was up to me, I could be quite happy by myself in a cave. Give me a book on my computer. I don't need anyone else, honestly. And you know, the good thing is my wife is like that. It'd be bad if we were both needy people. You know, I shouldn't say this, but I had to apologize to her yesterday because I was sitting doing my work. She was sitting her, and we let the whole day go past, and we didn't do something. Now, there's some couples, they got to be doing something. You know, and I said, you know what? I'm so sorry. I should have done something with you today. We should have gone somewhere, did something. She said, no, that was quite happy. I'm fine. So it's a good thing that God matched us perfectly, because there's some people, they gotta be doing something. They gotta go out, find a party, do something. You know? But so God uses us as befits our personality. We're not the same. There are billions and trillions of snowflakes. And scientists say not one of them is the same. Isn't that amazing that God goes through so much trouble to make snowflakes different, where we don't even look at them, we just walk right over them? So you understand that you are unique. There is not another you in this world. Now, there may be someone who looks like you, but they're not you. Even twins, identical twins, are different in character and personality. Those of you who have children understand that even though you have two children and they're raised in the same family, same circle, their personalities are different. Isn't that amazing? See, God has formed each of us for a purpose. As my wife was saying earlier about the body, and the scripture speaks about the believers as the body of Christ. That means that we each have a use. We each have a purpose. Amen. I only think I have one gift. I teach. I love teaching. I'm not a great preacher. I'm not a great whatever. But see, someone else may have another gift. The Bible speaks about the gifts of the Spirit. So we're going to be looking at finding our purpose. Because if you don't find your purpose, you're going to be unhappy. If you try to be something that you're not, you're going to be unhappy. You know, there's nothing better than using the right tool for the right job. If you try and use the wrong tool, you just get frustrated. It won't work. Many times I cannot find the right tool. I'm looking for a certain size wrench and I can't find it, and I get some other pliers and I'm fighting and fighting, and then someone will come along with just the right tool, and like in 1 minute it's done. So one of the aspects of our Christian walk is finding our purpose. What does God want to use me for? Some he calls a Peter, some he calls a Paul, some are just helps. There's all these ministries in the church. But if we can find our purpose, that's when we will be fulfilling God's will in perfection. Amen. Then we're going to look at an example in the Old Testament about the vessels that were in the temple, because each of them was for a purpose. There were many vessels that were used in the ceremonies in the Old Testament. There were trays, there were pots, there were knives, there were big long forks and things that were used for the sacrifices. And each of those vessels served a purpose, and all of them were necessary to carry out the ceremonies in the Old Testament. So we're going to look at the vessels of the temple, and then we're going to look at making a vessel. And I know these were a little bit out of order. I'm sorry about that. I was kind of tired when I was putting this together. And then we're going to also look at becoming an honored vessel. When it says a vessel of honor, what does that mean? What does it mean to be a vessel of honor? And then lastly, we're going to look at the vessel that is filled. Because a vessel that's empty is not being used, right? A vessel that is empty means it's not being used. And so we're going to be looking at the vessel that is filled. Now, in the old days, the way they made vessels was usually out of clay. And we can see that the scripture speaks of us as being clay. Genesis chapter 2, verse 7, and the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground. To make clay, you need two things. Anyone, what do you need to make clay? Water and earth, dust. You can see that in scripture then, man is spoken of many times as being clay. And the scientists say that we are 70% what? Water. So you can see that the rest of us, the other 30%, they've analyzed what the human body is. And do you know it's the same proportion of elements as is found in earth? Like most of the earth, the most prevalent element in the earth is silicon. And I forgot the percentage, and then you go down all the elements. And it turns out the percentages of elements that are in the earth are the same that are in mankind. So truly, the Bible is absolutely correct that we were made from the dust of the earth. And the Lord God formed man from the dust of the ground. You know, there are many critics who view Genesis chapter 1 and Genesis chapter 2, and they say, well, there's two different creation stories. See, the Bible was written by the Spirit of God. So it really takes the Spirit of God to understand it. It was written as God's Spirit moved, the Bible said, on holy men of old, and they wrote it. So people who try to read the Bible through natural eyes a lot of times misunderstand it and say, well, here's a contradiction. What they don't understand, of course, is that Genesis 1 is speaking about creation of what? What was created? The Bible said that in Genesis 1:26 that God created us in his image. In the image of God created he them. So God is a spirit. So what Genesis 1 is speaking about is the creation of our spirit or our soul. Now, can you see a spirit or a soul? No. You need a body. Genesis chapter 2, then, is speaking about the creation of the body. It's not two separate, differing, contradictory creations. It's because they do not understand that we were created originally a three-part being, a body with a soul covered by God's Spirit. That's what we were created. And Genesis 1 is describing the creation of the soul. And Genesis 2 is describing the creation out of dust, out of something that had already been formed of the body. So we inhabit a vessel. What you're looking at is not my soul. You're looking at my vessel. You're looking at my vessel. I said a few weeks ago, if we could see our soul, maybe we would be scared. What shape is our soul in? Has it been fed? Now, what do we take to feed this vessel? Food. I'm sure when we leave here today, we're all going to partake in some vessel feeding. But what do we need to feed our soul? God's word. That's why we are here. And when we don't get God's word, our soul gets hungry. That's why in Revelation, when he was speaking to the Laodicean church, he said, you are naked. He wasn't speaking about them literally. He was talking about their soul. You are naked. You say you are rich, but you are naked. I counsel you to buy of me gold tried in the fire. Our soul also needs food. So we start off by being a vessel of clay. That's what this is. That means a vessel of clay is also very what? Is it very strong? Any of you have china? Any of you have china plates? All right. So do you let your two-year-old play with that? Why? Right. What we're seeing right here explains why God had to cover us with his Spirit. Because this vessel, this clay vessel by itself, will break. When Adam and Eve sinned, God said in Genesis chapter 1, he said, the day thou sinnest, thou shalt what? Surely die. So for God to be speaking the truth, something died. And what died was their spirit covering. That's why now this vessel is not going to last forever. In fact, I haven't worked out for about a week or so, and I was going up the stairs, and my muscles were still aching me. I said, that's not right. That's not right. I didn't work out. Why is it hurting me? Well, I guess I'm getting old. This vessel is going to wear out. Amen. So a vessel of clay was formed, and God put his Spirit in it. Amen. In John, 2 John chapter 1, 6 says this, and this is love, that we walk after his commandments. Once we are formed, or beginning to be formed, we have to allow him to work on us. And that's the hardest part. That's the hardest part. Who likes getting correction? Who likes being told they're wrong? Can you take it? Because really that's the test of what kind of vessel you're going to be. If you let the master shape you. When he's shaping you, what that is saying, nope, you're sticking out here too much. You're not even over in this corner. I've got to put some pressure under you. That's what's happening to us. And a lot of times we're kicking and screaming. We don't like it. We don't want God to shape us into the vessel of honor. You know what happens to a vessel that's not properly shaped? You know, if eventually the potter gives up, you know what it's sold as? When you go into these stores and they have sales and they have chip and dent sales, right? Seconds, right? You've been to the dress store and you say, what's wrong with this? It's on the second hand, seconds. Well, it's got a defect. Now, you might not be able to see it right away, but as you start to look, well, okay, yes, I see it. Then you kind of decide, well, now, if I wear a long blouse with that, maybe no one will see it. See, that's what happens when you do not let the master finish his course. If we want to be vessels of honor, we have to allow ourselves to be shaped. Now, that is not nice. That is not pleasant. God has to shape us sometimes, and you know what that means? Squeeze us. I wish I had brought the film to show you them doing this on the clay. They take a lump of clay, and the first thing they do is they throw it down on the wheel. Ooh, that didn't feel good. They throw it down on the wheel because there's got to be a drastic change at the beginning. A drastic change. Then, as I've told you before, they've got to center the clay on the wheel or else it won't be round. So the first thing they do is they just get there and they get water and then they just squeeze it. And they look for it to come up to a point, and they're looking at that point to see if that point moves. If the point moves as it's going round, you know what that means? It means it's not centered yet. When it's perfectly centered on the wheel, the point won't move. When you are centered under God's hand, you will not move. If you're still moving around, it means you're not quite centered yet. There's still more pressure is going to have to be, and that doesn't feel good. And now, how does God bring pressure? That's right. The Bible says that tribulation worketh patience. Tribulation worketh patience. The things that we are going through, if we are submitted to God, they are there to center us. There's things that I went through years ago that at the time I didn't think I could go through them. But now I look at them and I go, okay. You know my story. If I got a bill from the state the other day, and it was several thousands of dollars. And I said, okay, God, you'll take care of this. This is nothing compared to what you've done before. Now, years ago, I'd go, what am I going to do? How am I going to deal with this? So I know I've been centered in that aspect, but there are probably other areas of my life where I'm still not quite centered, where I'm still going around the circle. So the potter has got to squeeze. And he does this before he can start making a vessel. He's got to make it centered. And the way they do it, they keep pressing, and they squeeze the clay up till it forms a point. And once the point doesn't move on the wheel, then he can start the work. Once you have been grounded, then comes the next phase of the potter, of being shaped. So in the things you're going through, can you look at them differently? Who's not going through anything right now? Who's just sailing through life with no problems? Anyone? Anyone got no issues? Anyone just having a beautiful existence and everything's just going beautiful? Now, there are times, but, you know, it's only for a season. It's only for a season. I can tell when the season's getting over with, you know? I can tell. So none of you are, so what is happening in your life right now? What does that mean? Well, there could be two possibilities. One, you're fighting the potter, or he's making you into a vessel of honor. So you can look at what you're going through two different ways. You can start screaming at God and say, Lord, this is terrible. Or you can say, nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. If you're a child of God, do you understand that God loves you? Do you believe that, first of all? Do you believe that? You have to believe that. You have to believe Romans 8:28, right? And we know that all things are not good, but they can work for the good. So when I got this bill from the state, they said, hey, we haven't seen any tax. We didn't get a tax return from you from 2013, so we went ahead and filled it out for you. And this is what you owe. That was a surprise. But you know, it was also an opportunity for God to look at me and say, okay, well, how are you going to handle this? You going to panic? Are you going to get scared? And I'm going to say, no, Lord, because you've removed 10 times this before, more than once. More than once you've done financial miracles so great that, so I didn't panic. I just said, okay, Lord, I'm going to trust you and you're going to work it out. Amen? You know, because that's what is happening. God is wanting to see, do you still trust me? Do you still believe that I can do miracles? Do you still believe that I'm ordering your steps? Isn't that what the scripture says? Anyone know that scripture? In all thy ways acknowledge him. And he shall, okay, that word acknowledge in the Hebrew is yada. It means to know. When we come to church and we're learning his word, we're knowing more about him. See, I know I'm into my season of needing to trust God. My daughter's still facing some very critical medical issues. And I'm not going to tell you all my problems, because you all have yours. Now, the Bible says, why think it strange? And we do. It's like, we didn't read that scripture. Didn't we get the notice? Didn't the letter come and say, you're a Christian, you're trying to walk for God, things are going to happen, the devil hates you, and he's going to come to test your faith. The thing that you are weakest at, that's where he's going to hit. We have to be allowed to be shaped by the Master. 2 John 1:6 says this, and this is love, that we walk after his commandments. Last month's theme was what? Anyone remember? Have to teach it again? Walking in the Spirit. And I said, the thing about walking and being led is that you have to be obedient. If you don't know where you're going, you don't go to the front of the line, do you? If you've never been somewhere before, you don't go to the front of the line. You let someone else who knows where they're going. Jesus said, when the blind lead the blind, what happens? Everybody falls into the ditch. If we're being led by the Spirit, if we're being shaped by the Master, you know, even though we're going through things, we have to trust. When you trust, when a baby trusts, what do? They relax. A baby that doesn't trust is doing what? Fighting you. Trying to get out of your arms. Almost doesn't know that if you were to let them go, what would happen? They'd fall and bust their head. They don't know that you're actually holding them, and they think they don't understand. A lot of times we're doing that to God. He's trying to protect us, and we're fighting him, trying to get out thinking we know better. If we're going to be shaped by the Master, and this is love, that we walk after his commandments, this is the commandment that as he have heard from the beginning, he should walk in it. That's part of shaping. That's why we come to church, so that we hear a word that's going to do several things. Wash us with correction, encourage us with promise, instill in us faith, amen, so that when we leave here, we say, I can get through this week. What came to me as Cindy was speaking about all the accidents is the angel of the Lord encampeth around them that fear him. You know, my brother told me about that and how there was an accident in front of him and this guy went around the side of him and created another accident, and yet he with his big, you know, 80-ton semi was preserved. I should be dead at least twice. At least twice, I've told you my testimony. I was on I-94 in a rainstorm, or the rain had just finished, and it was one of those parts of I-94 where all you've got is the concrete barrier between the two lanes. And I was in the high-speed lane, and I hit about 2 inches of water, and the car just started to fishtail back and forth. And every time it got bigger and bigger, and finally it hit the wall right head-on. That wasn't the bad thing, though. It was all the semis that were behind me. I thought, there's no way I'm not going to get hit. Somehow, miraculously, and it's only God, because it was impossible. That car was so smashed up that when my children saw it, they couldn't believe that I got out there and was just walking around. That front of the car was smashed completely in. And so I'm telling you, this is real. If you have a mission, you can't die yet. If God has your hand, you cannot die yet. We need to let some of the things that happen to us that we are fighting shape us and say, okay, God, what is the lesson you're trying to teach me here? Where have I been disobedient? What are you trying? Sometimes he's just trying to teach us trust. Sometimes it's humility. It's the fact that we can't handle this. We're going to need someone else. We're going to have to go to someone and say, pray for me. This is the situation. I really can't handle this. I'm that kind of person. I keep everything to myself. You know, but God will shape us to start to make us into a vessel that pleases him, that pleases him. Sometimes, because we've been so resistant, the vessel is marred, just as in Jeremiah. And the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. You know, it had a piece of earth that wasn't really mixed up with the water, so it was a bit lumpy, and it stuck out. And what they do, I was watching the videos on YouTube, they stop the wheel, and he looks at it and tries to work out what can he do to fix this. And they usually get some more water and start working it and working it and working it to smooth it out. Ooh, that's not painful. That's not happy, I mean. That's not pleasant to be worked. Sometimes we repeat the same thing over and over again in our lives because you know what? We haven't learned the lesson the first time. We just keep doing the same thing, and God is trying to smooth us out, to teach us. And the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the... Just the great thing was he could have just thrown that away. He could have just thrown it away, but he would not. He kept on working it. I was watching them as this guy was making a vase. And he worked the clay up till it was a certain height, and he could tell that it wasn't right. So you know what he did? Squashed it back down again. Sometimes you feel like you're just about to have a breakthrough and things look so good and the world is everything's going right. And then the rug gets pulled right from under your feet and you wonder why. Well, you may not be able to see it. You may have thought everything was great. But the potter could see that there was something that needed to be remade. See, it's not a happy lesson today, huh? But I'm just telling you what the scripture says. The vessel was marred. Sometimes there's areas in our life that become marred where we cannot see it for ourselves. We think we're doing great. We think everything's okay. It's very hard to see yourself. Did you know that? Even when you look in a mirror, you're really not seeing yourself as others see you. Because what you're seeing is a reflection that is actually reversed. The only way to see yourself is get your camera, and then you look in the camera that's how other people see. If you look in a mirror, it's actually not showing you the way other people see you because the image is reversed. And so it's very hard for us to really, really see ourselves. We think we're doing just great. And that's why we should always pray. Like David, he said, Lord, watch out for my presumptuous sins. That means when I think I'm okay. Keep me from presumptuous sins, from just thinking I'm all right. You know, I'm doing pretty good. I everything's going great. But are we seeing ourselves as God sees us? Amen. And the vessel he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. So he made it again another vessel, as seemed good to the potter to make it. See, what we want to do may not be what God wants us to do. And as I've said these past weeks, the key to David's blessing in his life was what? What was the key to David's success when he was successful? He inquired of the Lord. Every time you see David was successful, before he did anything, he asked God, God, should I do this? Is this what you want me to do? The times when he failed was when he made the decision on his own. The times when I have messed up is when it looks so good, it's got to be right. This is a great deal. You know, in the 80s, when I was in my 20s, I thought I was going to do all kinds of things. I thought I was going to be, I was into music. We had a gospel group. I thought, well, you know what? I'll just go ahead and start a studio. And I invested, I don't want to say because it's thousands. You know what I didn't do? Did not inquire of the Lord. I just walked away with what I had when it was all over. Someone else got the benefit of it. But you know, although the vessel was marred, God didn't throw me away. Got some more water and put me back on the wheel. And I learned. The thing about going through things is it's okay if you learn from them. But if you don't, that's a waste. That's a waste. Amen. All right, been on that. When the vessel is first made, when he's shaped it, the next stage, as you know, is he puts it in the fire. Why does he put it in the fire? To harden it. The Bible says to endure as a good soldier. Endure. So after it's been shaped, then it's put in the fire to be hardened. You see, what we're looking for is our own will. We don't want to go in the fire. We don't want to go in the fire, that's for sure. I do not want to go in the fire. Let me say that. Cleaning the vessel then, when he comes out of the fire, he gets some more water and he starts to clean off any little sharp bits that have been there. And really what that's about, cleaning the vessel, is to really look at ourselves and say, what are my priorities? What are my goals? Where am I aiming myself? You know this story too. I'm sorry to be telling stories, but my mother gave us a Bible and that's what she wrote in it. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness and all these other things. What is our priorities? Is it to serve the master or to serve ourselves? Here's the beautiful thing. Here's the beautiful thing. When David did sin, he realized that he had gotten to a point where he had justified himself. Although he had committed adultery, although he'd had Uriah killed, he couldn't see it. That's amazing how sometimes we can go so far out on a limb where we're doing wrong, and yet we can't see it. That's when we're in danger. Let me say it again. It's when we're doing wrong and we've so denied it to ourselves. But God was so merciful, he sent Nathan the prophet. And he told him the story about the man who had a whole flock of sheep going and stealing someone else's sheep, one sheep. And David got so upset and indignant, right? He said, that man who did this, he should be punished. And then Nathan said, thou art the man. Ooh. Sometimes someone has to show us ourselves. Sometimes we can't see it because we're the vessel. It's just like you normally cannot see the back of your neck, can you? So if you had a piece of thread or something at the back of your neck, how would you know? What do you need to see that? You need a mirror. You need a mirror. God's word is the mirror. God's word is the thing that will show us all the things that are on our back that we cannot see. 2 Timothy 2:21 says, if a man therefore purge himself from these, and we'll be going into much more detail in the weeks to come. This is just an overview this week. He shall be a vessel of honor. Now, if you want to find all the things, and we'll go into that, you read chapter 2 Timothy 2, the verses before. But he says, if a man therefore purge himself from these, you can clean the vessel. Now, most of us, I'm sure, this week, cleaned the vessel. You didn't go the whole week, right? Don't tell me. No hands. Don't want to know. But I'm sure, well, I assume that some point this week, you went under a really hot shower and you cleaned the vessel, right? We can clean the vessel spiritually. 2 Timothy 2:21 says, if a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor. Isn't that wonderful? You can make sure that your vessel is clean. You can make sure that your vessel is clean. Let me say it again. You can make sure that your vessel is clean. How do we clean the vessel? That's right, with the word. But there's more to it, and we'll get into some more. Sister Shanita. Well, let's look at what the word says. If a man therefore purge, what does purge mean? Senecot. Nobody knows what that is? Okay. What does that do? It purges. Philip. Right. And he's, go ahead. Amen. Amen. There's quite a bit to this purge. But you know, the beauty of this, and we'll get into more of it next week, is that Paul in his letter to Timothy says that if a man therefore, that means we can do something. We can't just put it all on God and say, okay, God, I am the way I am. You fix me. No, there are things that we can do. Right? There are things that we can do. It says, if a man purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel of honor. And we're going to go into that a little bit more. Sanctified. What does sanctified mean? Set apart. That means if you want to be a vessel of honor, you've got to be special. Now, most of us, well, not all of us, but you have your special guest, China, right? And you don't bring that out for eating McDonald's, right? It's when you have a special guest, you lay the table and you put all the dessert fork and the salad fork and the all the other forks and all the spoons, and you set it out, and it's the special vessel of honor. You don't just use that anytime. That's what sanctified means, is that we are supposed to be special. We shouldn't be common and garden. As the world would like us to be. We should be different. We can't fit into everything that the world wants. Are you different enough? Are you different enough? It said, you shall be a vessel unto honor. That means set apart. Meet. You know, you want God to use you? Here is how. You have to be set apart, sanctified, and meet for the Master's use, and prepared unto every good work. I know we're not capturing it on the recording, so go ahead.
I think in that same chapter it says, no man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life. So when we can get so tangled up, we can get so bogged down, you almost become feel dirty. So you can't entangle yourself with the social media and all the other things. The Bible says we must occupy, we must until he comes, but that doesn't mean to say we have to be a part of this world.
Amen. Amen. You know, there's some things. Is there anything you wish that you could forget? Some experiences you've been through that play upon your mind that you wish you hadn't experienced, you know, that you could just wipe out. I really think this is what David's Psalm 51, when he says, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. That's the prayer that we need to pray for cleaning the vessel, because if the vessel has become dirty, Satan will always bring those things back. He will play your past back to you. That's what he'll try to do. And I think that is the prayer we need to really ask God to just take those things out of our thoughts. Take those things out of our thoughts. Purge. If a man therefore will purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the Master's use, and prepared unto every good work. That means that if you are purged, God can use you. I'm going to talk more about this in the weeks to come, but can you think of an example in Scripture of some vessels that were used for different things? Okay, well, the ark is more, I would say it's a container. I guess you could say it's a vessel, Sister Cindy. The alabaster box, that's a great example. That's a great example. What was in the alabaster box? Okay, all right, that's a great example. Okay, the pitchers of water that were used to wash. Do you see, the alabaster box was used to contain perfume. The pitchers of water were used to wash people's feet. Okay, now, I want to show you, I didn't put it in the slides, but I want to show you a story here. The Bible says that Jesus and his disciples were invited to a wedding in Cana of Galilee, and they ran out of the wine, right? They ran out of the wine, and Jesus' mother came to him and said what? Well, she said, they've run out of wine. And he said to her, what? My time hasn't come yet. He was saying it wasn't his time to really reveal who he was by doing miracles. Nevertheless, do you remember the story of what he then told the servants to do? Okay, but it's what these things were that's important. The Bible tells us something interesting about this story about these vessels. I think I've taught it before, but does anyone remember what was the purpose, the original purpose of these vessels? Well, no, not in this story. They were very big vessels. They contained, they say, about 30 gallons, 120. They were very big vessels because they had a special purpose. There were six of them. Anyone remember what they were supposed to be used for? They were called the vessels for the water of purification. That means that they were there, originally created to be used for the ritual mikvah or baptism, right? But in this story, it shows how God repurposed them to be used as a vessel of honor to serve the wine. They were just to be used for cleansing. That's why they were so big. There were six of them, and they filled them to the brim. And God, in this story, changed the purpose of these vessels. They were originally used, it says, for the water of purification. That means they were used in the ritual baptism, in the mikvah. And in this case, they were repurposed to hold the wine. And it wasn't just any wine. It was the best wine. Because at this wedding feast, they would have served in vessels of honor the wine. So you see how you can have been called, you can have been a vessel that was only for cleansing. But if the master will use you, he can change your purpose. The servants knew. He says, dip into the vessel. And as soon as they dipped, what had been purposed for cleansing became wine. Now you wouldn't use bath water to drink out of. You wouldn't have drunk from the bath. But this shows you an example of how the master can change the vessel and make it a vessel of honor. A vessel of honor. If any man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified, set apart, and meet for the master's use. In fact, when Peter was on the rooftop and he saw the sheet let down with all these unclean animals, and the voice said, Peter, arise, go and eat, kill. And he said, well, no, Lord, nothing unclean has ever come across my lips. I'd never do this. And the voice said, whatever God has blessed. In other words, whatever God has cleansed, whatever God has repurposed, don't you call unclean. God can change whatever vessel you are to his purpose. God can change the bath water, the water that was used for cleansing, and change the vessel into a vessel of wine, a vessel of honor. When he gets hold of your life, if you will let him, not only can he make you a vessel, and I'm pre-going over some of the, but he can fill the vessel and change the contents. He can change your nature and make you not only into a vessel of honor, but that what comes forth will bless someone. When the wine was taken to the master of the feast, he said, listen, this is strange. Most people serve the best stuff first, so that when people have drunk, they're not so particular. But you've saved the best for last. See, when God gets a hold of your life, he will turn you into the best that there can be. There was no vineyard in France that produced a better vintage than what Jesus did at the feast at the marriage supper. And that's just a little example of what he can do when he will take your vessel that was meant for the cleansing, the bath water. It was the water of purification. It was the water that they would pour out into this big pool so that people would go down and be ritually cleansed. And he changed that. And he used those vessels into wine. Now, I'm telling you, he could have used other vessels. They had smaller pitchers. There was a real purpose why it tells us that this was the water of purification and that it was these, because he turned gallons. It was six vessels, and each of these had like 30 gallons each. He was making a point that he can change a vessel that's used for cleansing into a vessel of honor. Isn't that awesome? The picture for this next thing was moved, and I'm just going to read the story. I'm going to show you another example now in Scripture. They brought this woman that was caught in the very act of adultery. In other words, a vessel that was marred. This they said, tempting him that they might accuse him. But Jesus stooped down with his finger, wrote in the ground as though he had not heard them. So when they continued asking him, he lifted up himself and said unto them, "He that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her." And again he stooped down and wrote in the ground. And started to write in the ground. And you know my theory, the Bible doesn't tell us what he wrote. But just to show you God's mercy, that he can take a vessel that was used for something else, a vessel that is marred, no matter where you come from or what you have done, even if the vessel was set use, you know, it couldn't have been changed now, it had been set, he can still change what's inside of it. Do you get what I'm saying? He can change the contents of the vessel, and he can fill it with something that is a blessing to others. Matthew 9:13, he said, "Go ye and learn what this meaneth. I will have mercy and not sacrifice, for I am not come to call the righteous but sinners to repentance." So even if the vessel was not made a vessel of honor, he can put something in it that makes it a vessel of honor. And again he stooped down and wrote in the ground. And they which heard it, being convicted by their own conscience, went out one by one, beginning at the elders, even to the last. And Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing in the midst. I'm going to hurry on because I want us to stop, start stopping on time so we can start on time. So I'm just going to go straight to the end part here. I will put this on the web. We see that the call of Isaiah, we were talking about what we can do to clean the vessel. That when he saw his vision in Isaiah 6:6, it says, "Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongs from off the altar, and he laid it upon my mouth." Why the mouth? That's right. What did Jesus say? A vessel? It's what comes out that defiles you. Anyone ever, I'm very bad at this, but sometimes I get some coffee at work and I put it down and sometimes it gets pushed behind my screen so I don't see it. And a couple or three or four days later, I might look and oh, I've left that coffee cup there. You know what's happened to it? It's not a vessel of honor anymore. Not a vessel of honor. It's what comes out that defiles. Do you see what happens here? And that's one of the reasons why on the day of Pentecost, that one of the signs of the Holy Spirit was what? Because the Bible says the tongue is an unruly member. The first thing that God wants to touch is our tongue, because it says it's what comes out of us defiles us. And so we see in this example of how God chose Isaiah as a vessel. And he laid it upon my mouth and said, "Lo, this hath touched thy lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin purged." Remember the scripture that says, if any man will purge himself. And I heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send? Who will go for us?" Then said I, "Here am I, send me." So we see that one of the steps in cleansing the vessel is making sure what comes out of it is wholesome. We should be careful what we say. The Bible says, "Let no corrupt communication come forth out of our mouth." What we should be doing is speaking grace, so that when people hear us, it's grace that we are saying things that are encouraging. We as Christians, we as believers, should be the most graceful people. That doesn't mean you let everyone just walk over you necessarily, but you let God handle it. You let God's grace handle it. 2 Timothy 2:1, I'm almost finished. Now, thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Be empowered. That's what empowers us. 2 Corinthians 12:9 says, and he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly I will boast in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Anyone fixed a broken cup? Anyone got some glue on? Anyone got some hot stuff and fixed something that was valuable, a vase, a vase? See, what it takes is you're going to have to put something, a covering over it to hold it together, to keep it together. And that's what the Holy Spirit does. It can transform this clay jar and keep it. You know what they do for your teeth when you go to the doctor or to the dentist? They've got to do what to save the teeth? They put a what? Cap over it. See, that's enamel, and it's not strong enough. They have to put something to cover it. And that's what the Holy Spirit does. My grace is sufficient for you. My strength is made perfect in a weakness. As a clay vessel, we're just very brittle. But when the Holy Spirit, his grace, be strong in grace. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. That will cover us. The Bible says that love covers what? A multitude of sins. It's not that we are perfect, but it's that our Savior is perfect. It's not that we are perfect in all our actions, but that he makes us justified. Amen. That his love, hallelujah, covers us. If we are trying to keep ourselves separated, if we're trying to walk according to his word. Amen. If you could stand with me, I don't want to go on too much longer, but this is just an overview, and next week we will really go into these things in detail. We will go into a lot more. But the Bible says that he has called us to be vessels of honor, fit for the master's use. Do you want to be used by Christ? Amen. Amen. In whatever application, in whatever situation that we are, we need to submit ourselves that he can use us, that he can mold us. And even if we were not a vessel that was originally designed to be served at the table, just like at the Feast of Cana, he can change that bath water, that water of purification, into something rich and something perfect. And that's what he did. He took the vessel that had been used for the water of purification, in other words, for cleansing, and he changed that water into the best wine that they had ever tasted. Isn't God merciful and gracious? Amen. If you could stand with me, we're going to close our Sunday school, but I hope even by these few words you have been encouraged to see that his grace is sufficient. His strength is made perfect even in our weakness. And even that cracked vessel can be covered with his grace. And that's what makes it strengthened. It says, be strong in the grace that is Christ Jesus. Amen. Once we acknowledge our weaknesses, once we come before him, once we get our lips purged from the things that we would say that would defile us, God's grace can cover us. God's grace can set us on a rock. God can lift us up. And that even as I said in that story with the water into wine, that those things were never meant to be served by the tables. They were used for cleansing. Jesus filled the vessel with wine. Amen. If you could bow your heads with me. Father, we just thank you at this time. Hallelujah. Let these few words find good soil. Let it encourage. Let us know, Lord God, that we have been chosen vessels. Lord, that you want to work with us, that you want to lift us up, that you want to direct our path. Father, we just thank you right now for your presence. Lord, we ask you, Lord, to just fill our hearts with grace. Strengthen us in body, soul, and spirit. Oh God, hallelujah, that we will not crack under the pressure, but that we will be used.